take advantage of it. And we are fully engaged and supportive and really full partners with Elevate and all they're doing with Pastor Chad and his awesome team. Continuing my series called New Horizons, our subtitle is Turning One Victory into 10,000 Victories. Today, my heart is filled with a great faith and a great joy about what God is doing. In the world today, there is much upheaval, and there is much unrest, there is much injustice, there's great pain, but I'm a loyal and greatly appreciative citizen of the United States, but I'm a citizen of another place called the Kingdom of God. And the Kingdom of God is an unshakable place. And sometimes when I watch the church being shaken by the winds of change or the winds of adversity, I wonder where their citizenship really lies. And I want you to know something. God is an awesome God. The devil doesn't win. The last days are not called the day of the devil, the day of the Antichrist, the day of the beast. It's called the day of the Lord. God saves the best for last. And if we're the last, we get the best. God is moving all over the world. There are more Christians alive right now than in all of Christian history combined. Today, in 24-hour cycle, over 250,000 people will find Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God's Spirit is moving. There are 1 billion Pentecostals in the world today, tongue-talking, signs and wonders and miracles, believing people. God is moving. China is 30-some% Christian. Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation, is close to becoming a Christian nation. At 37% Christianity right now, Indonesia, all over the world, God is moving by His Spirit in unprecedented ways. You're in the greatest time in history. God saved you and had you, your life destined for this moment in history. And God doesn't want you to miss out on what He's doing. There are many things, many forces, and many disruptions and eruptions from the enemy, but God is ready for them all. As long as the Holy Spirit is in the earth, the most powerful force in the earth will be the Holy Spirit. As long as the Holy Spirit is in the church, the most powerful people in the earth will be the church. So let me help you get it. God is ready to do some awesome things. He's got you in His plans, His partnership, in His purposeful thoughts to launch you forth into some things you've never seen happen before. We're here to take this city. We're here to shake the world for Jesus. You can't help but change the world when the changer is in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. This is an unbelievable time. Today's a miracle Sunday. This is going to be a miracle season. Like I said, all kinds of beautiful things are happening continuously. But I want to share one of them to you today. Build your faith and encourage you about what God is doing. God loves you. He cares about you. He's for you. He's with you. He's not going to fail you. We sang that. We believe that. But God really wants you to believe that. Mary and I flew to Australia 3 weeks ago to minister. And we ministered there, you know, like 14 times in 12 days. A beautiful season. Wonderful friends. Unbelievable favor in the country. We've been asked to come back and minister to a large group of pastors there. Just unbelievable stuff's happening. So on the day that we left, our church office received a phone call from a former member 20-some years ago of our church who said they wanted to talk to me. I wasn't here, so Pastor Bob talked with them, met with them. Well, the end result of that is that person donated a debt-free property worth $250,000 to the church. I just want to say, if you can't clap about that, something's wrong with you. If you walked up to me and said, Pastor, I just got a $250,000 check, I'd be dancing the aisle with you. I wouldn't be, Bummer. Listen, you can't have what I have until you're happy I have it. Okay. Let me get off you. So it was a real miraculous thing. We have a debt we've been praying about for a couple months here of $150,000. We need to resolve that so we don't have it. But we also have, you know, we have our property is 50 years old, 3/4 of it. The other part of 1/3 of it is 30 years old. So this is the youngest part of the church. It's over 30 years old right here. And so little by little, we've been in increments. Last year, we raised about $65,000. People say, well, how come we didn't pave the parking lot for last year? Well, we could, you know, for $65,000, we could have paid 10 feet of it. It's amazing how much asphalt is and all that kind of stuff. So the improvements to this property are going to cost money. And I want this property to be have the spirit of excellence and represent Christ. And so our standard is we don't want things perfect. We just want things the best they can be. And so when people come here and they're going to meet Christ here, then the environment needs to be suitable that they don't say, well, that's, you know, that's bad. Instead of driving through the Grand Canyon, we want to have a parking lot that's nice. Now, I said that to you about this. The moment I heard about that gift to us from a non-member, I thought, God, what are you going to do with our members? It's time for them to have supernatural checks show up in their world. It's time for outrageous favor to come to their lives. It's time for breakthrough. So today I'm here to announce to you it's your breakthrough time. That something's happened, and when God does something for anyone, he'll do it for everyone. Peter said, I perceive, God, you show no partiality, but in every nation, anybody who calls upon you, you hear that prayer. You answer faith no matter where it's found. You answer prayer no matter where it's prayed. So I'm excited today that it's your breakthrough time because God's ready to do some outrageous things right here in Phoenix, Arizona, which along with, you know, Las Vegas and parts of Florida are the epicenter of the last recession, the slowest to recover, the most damaged by it. Right here, God wants to raise up some miracle entrepreneurs. Right here, God wants to bless some people supernaturally. He wants to raise up a kingdom example of economy. He wants people to see in the world what godly people can do that put God first, that are loyal to their families, that love the church, that care about world missions. He wants to bless those people. A prophet said over a man a couple weeks ago about starting a bank and doing things. In fact, I'd given a prophecy before I knew him. Found out he's a high-level banker that wants to have a Christian bank so he can give all kinds of money. God's touching people all over the world. He's touching people all over. Okay, let me get into my message. Verse 1 of chapter 17, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. They gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah. And Saul and his men were gathered together and they encamped in the valley of Elah. Drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountainside on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. Two mountains opposing each other, looking at each other, a valley between them. So here they are, it's the clash of mountains. Now please get this. The devil has unleashed everything he has in this generation. There's been an eruption from hell, of every foul and demonic and deceptive power in every realm of culture. But God does not want us to retreat from this conflict. We're facing a challenge, and God's up to the challenge if he can find a couple Davids and a champion. Went from the camp of the Philistines, Goliath. Goliath's name means stripped as an exile, to strip naked, to spend the winter, to imprison, to shame, to strip. It's a portrait of someone conquered, stripped, and imprisoned. And the spirit of shame, the stripping, controlling, deceiving, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he stands up in the personification of a cultural stronghold. And the Bible says, so here's some facts. He's 9 feet, 9 inches tall, minimally. His armor, his chest plate weighed 125 pounds. The tip of his spear was like a log, and the tip of it weighed 15 to 16 pounds. Out there, remember shot put guys? the tip of it. He is a shield bearer. He's undefeated. He's this monstrosity. And for 40 days, he preaches a message day and night. And for 40 days, Israel has no answer. And he says this to him, verse 8, he cried out to the armies of Israel and said, why have you come out to line up for the battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight against me and kill me, we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you'll be our servants and serve us. 40 days. I'm amazed, listen to me. I'm amazed at the hubris of the devil. Christianity is not just being attacked now. It's been mocked and ridiculed and belittled. Openly mocking God. I just want to say, keep it up. There is a God. He's very patient and his mercy endures forever. But you just keep it up. You're poking the wrong person in the eyeball. I want to tell all them people that out there feel, well, you know, they're afraid to say anything against Muhammad because some Muslim might chop their head off. But there, it's all that war against Christianity. But I just want to say to them, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. Yeah. My daddy, God, bigger than your daddy, the devil. He kicked him into hell once. He'll kick the hell out of him again. He'll do it. He don't get tired of it. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. God loves to whoop the devil through people. He already did it through his son. Now he wants to do it through his sons and daughters. Goliath challenges, verse 10, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me somebody. God's looking for somebody too. Not the most talented, not the most charismatic, not the most gifted, the most, he's just looking for the most faith. He's just looking for someone to show up. Give me a man, we may fight. And Saul and Israel heard these words, they were greatly dismayed. Dismayed is the great Greek Hebrew word. It means to break someone down by violence, confusion, or fear. They were greatly afraid. So my first point is this, because it's something I just want to remind you. It's simple, but you'll get it. I know your giant looks big compared to you. But boy, does it look small compared to your God. God, help us to have a perspective adjustment. Come on. Some of you that get your theology from CNN. Just need to close your eyes. Oh my God, just in one of these worship services. You feel the bigness of God, the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, the majesty of God, the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the deliverance of God, right here. Stop telling God how big your mountain is and start telling your mountain how big your God is. See, it's interesting to me that the Bible captures Mary and I when we were in Israel. And 7 or 8 years ago, it was awesome. And the headlines of the Jerusalem Post was a piece of pottery found, and it said this, carved on the pottery was Goliath of Gath. Goliath of Gath. Here they found a 3,000-year-old artifact. And it was from Goliath's hometown or his home itself. So the Bible gives us exacting. I like that because the Bible doesn't ignore problems. But as we accurately, tell me what your problem. My problem is 9'9" tall. My problem has a 125-pound coat. My problem has a 15-pound spear. Okay, let me help you. My child is going crazy. The doctor said this about my health. my business going down. We can know every little thing about our problem. But now that's okay. The Bible doesn't belittle that. But now just know every little thing about God. Okay, Goliath, you're 9'9" next to me. You look big, but next to God, you're puny. You're puny. Giants in life, adversity, problems, difficulty, cultural strongholds define us. Our lives are ultimately defined by the size and strength of the giants we conquer or are conquered by. Saul kills his thousands, the women sang. David his 10,000s. Saul was offended and jealous that they were singing a song of David's conquest. But Saul didn't conquer what David conquered. You're almost with me today. Anybody can say they're great, but ultimately what you conquer tells us who you are. What you overcome or don't overcome defines you. And in the kingdom of God, it's time for us to do some conquering. It's time for God to stand up in his Davids. It's time for us to stop learning to accept things as if they're permanent. The devil's a liar. And so David now is a little boy. He's in his mid-teens. They'll say he's 15 to 17. He's in that range of life. And he's the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. And Jesse's oldest 3 sons, Eliab, Shammah, and Abinadab, are in the army because they're grown men, maybe late 20s, mid-20s, early 30s, whatever. And David's, the eighth son, the little funny one, the long-haired poetry-writing shepherd. And whenever they would belittle him, they'd remind him he was a shepherd. He wasn't a warrior, he was a shepherd. And he would write poetry to God, and he invented at least 26 stringed instruments. So here's this little guy, this creative guy who tells stories about killing lions and bears, and the family's suspicious, and all. So he's bringing lunch, and he hears Goliath's midday message. I challenge you. And David says, who's going to do something about that? Someone texts me, Pastor, the church needs this. I know it does. Do it. My job description already has 45 things under it. I'm not going to do what you think needs to be done. You do it. I empower you. God bless you. You're released. Go do it. Well, Pastor, we need this kind of ministry. I know. Come and do it. David brought his lunch. He heard Goliath speak. He said, what are you getting? They said, well, you get no taxes. You get to marry the king's daughter. And the no tax thing, no taxes. Wow. Shandai Mandai. Take me that. And he hoped the king's daughter's okay. And so he goes on. He talks differently. Now listen to me. He talks differently than the church culture that had been captured by fear. Whenever anybody comes who's not under the stronghold others are in, they'll talk differently and they'll offend everybody they talk to. David said, why isn't anybody doing something about it? What do you get for killing that guy? I like that because we ask the wrong questions. It's not about can it be done, it should be what do we get for doing it? Finally, Saul, he's brought to Saul, and Saul says, man, do we appreciate your enthusiasm? Had a pastor, a very good pastor, tell me, California, I heard you still get real loud in your messages. He said, that's great. That's kind of youthful enthusiasm. I said, you don't understand. I'm not that way in life. When the Holy Ghost gets in me, I can't help it. I cannot help it. I have actual degrees behind my name. I have things I could talk about. When the Holy Ghost comes in, he just takes control and says, shut up, let me say some things. And that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to be 95 years old and say, I got out my son. Come on, church. Take him out. So David says, here's what no one knows. I've had some victories. I've been over there in private, concealed. No one knows who I am. The victory is we win in our personal lives when no one's watching. Give us the platform and the authority to win victories in our public lives when everyone's watching. Is there not a cause, David said, his brothers objected to him. You will always offend people when you have faith. You'll offend them. But don't let something small keep you from something big. I was criticized this week by somebody. They don't know me. They don't know the hell I've been through. They thought they heard something or they saw a glimpse of it. I don't care about that. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one iota what people say about you. Every one of David's brothers was opposed to him. His father is opposed to him. Nobody sees who David is except him and God. Oh, and a lion and a bear. David said, Saul, there was a lion came and it took a lamb. I killed the lion and I rescued the lamb. A bear came and I killed the bear. I grabbed it and killed it. And David said, I'm not Einstein, but if God could use me to kill a bear and a lion, why can't he use me to kill that ugly 9'9" tall giant? Now listen to me, I'm not Einstein either, but I'm thinking, hey, $250,000, why can't God bless you? Why can't you be the first person to give $1 million here? Thank you, six of you. Why can't something good happen in your world? Why can't unexpected, somebody from 25 years ago in my world, bless, why can't something come out of your past that shocks you? Why can't God make the devil pay you back for some things you've lost? I killed a lion and a bear. You've been in a season, a lot of you have been in a season. No one knows you yet. People don't know what's in you. But you've been winning some victories. You've been defeating some stuff. You've been conquering some internal strongholds. You've been overcoming some things that took other people down. And God's about to unveil your life. And he'll give you a chance to do in front of everybody what you've done in front of nobody. Okay, let me get this thing done. Your testimony has power to bring the victories. Victories in the battles you face today. Because what? When you remind yourself, don't forget what God's done for you. When you need God to do something today. The more you talk about what he did, the more you resurrect and resurface that grace to come into your present world. When David talked about killing the lion killing spirit came on him. Your testimony has power. They overcame him by the blood of the lamb and the word of the testimony. Okay, David comes, he runs through the battle, just fast forwarding here. And as he comes through the battle, Goliath sees him and is offended at him. And Goliath says, verse 42, David said, he looked at David and disdained him because he was young, ruddy, and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Just throw a stick at me. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, Dagon, Baal, Beelzebub, Asherah, the four deities. Listen to me, all made of stone and wood. Look up here. There's no God but our God. There's no God but Yahweh. There's no Savior but Jesus. And they can pray to Buddha, he's dead. They can pray to Muhammad, he's dead in a grave. They can pray to Hindu, Bindu, whatever the, he dead, they dead, she dead, he dead. The only one not dead is Jesus. He cursed David by his gods. I'll be at him. 6 months or so, we'll have a person of high ranking spiritual influence. And so, like we had a 6 foot tall guru come dressed in bright orange a couple months ago to stand there like this. I feel so many things. I feel God. Of course you do. Of course you do. They're sincere people. Had a world famous guy come a couple years ago. They were doing a documentary about his life. Famous guru. He kept coming back. I said, I've never been in a place. Never felt a place. Something's here. I said, it's God. Your whole life, what you've been looking for, it's God. Our God's real. He's not a statue. He's not made of wood or stone. He's not dead. He's alive. People curse. Pastor's witches. So what? Witches are welcome here. Oh. Pastor, welcome. Witches are welcome. Why? Because God is able to show a witch. Listen. I gave a prophetic word over a important person years ago, and they started calling him the witch that switched. The witch that switched. High-ranking Satanist. Radically saved. Woo-hoo. Come to me, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. David said, you done? Never let the devil have the last word. What did David know? The Bible says he ran. Now, he ran toward it. Firefighters run into fires. Warriors run to the sound of war. Amazing. David runs. Why did he run? Because he knew the outcome before the battle had begun. David knew that it was not a conflict between two people named David and Goliath. It was a collision between two kingdoms, hell and heaven. And David knew anybody on God's side could represent God's interest and see the victory. See, it's really not about you. It's more than about you. It's about God's interest. You represent God's interest in the earth. His purpose, his will. And so the things he does in you have a life beyond you. David said, you done talking, fathead? Never let the devil have the last word. Doctor says you're going to die before he's done saying, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Come on now. For 40 days they let the devil talk and no one talked back. Time to talk back. Well, America's going to hell. Not under my watch, it's not. Its greatest awakening is yet to happen. The stirrings of God are happening unseen, unnoticed by so many, but God is moving from the highest to the lowest places, from the richest to the poorest. God's going to do some things that shake and alter the system. God's not done in America. He's not done in Phoenix. He's not done with your story. Okay, David says, you come to me with a sword, spear, and a javelin. I recognize your weaponry. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, someone say this day. You can't wait till the day's over. The devil kind of, when you wake up, you got to say, this day is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. This is the day of victory for me. This is the miracle day. I woke up this morning prophesying. It's a miracle day at CFTN. It's a miracle day at CFTN. It's a miracle. That's what this day is. I was woken up yesterday before I flew home with a prophetic word from God. He said, it's time for your breakthrough. I'm the Lord of the breakthrough. I'm going to break you out of what's been binding you and burdening you. I'm going to break you into what I promised to do for you. I'm going to break you free from everything I've not sent into your world. Because your breakthrough is not just about you. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. Your life, Michael Maiden, represents my interest in the earth. So I'm going to break through because I'm a breakthrough God. Not because you're good enough, it's because I'm good enough. Not because you're holy enough, because I'm holy enough. It's about me, God says. I'm the breakthrough one. David said, this day, the Lord will deliver you to my hand. I will strike you and take your fat head from you. Yeah, that's that New Message version. This day, someone shout, this day. I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Then all this assembly, now listen to me, now he's preaching to his own people. Now all this assembly, all of them that have been under bad leadership, all of them that are afraid of something God's ready to conquer, then this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with swords or spears, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Now, here's what I got excited about. David said, this little tiff between me and you, I'm going to take care of you. You're coming down. I'm taking your fat head off your body. But it's not really about me and you. I'm coming after 10,000 victories. I want to turn one victory into 10,000 conquests. I'm going to turn my testimony of conquering someone. I want to have 10,000 Israel warriors get a testimony today too. David leveraged. I prayed a prayer 25 years ago. I was driving home from church. You know the story. Complaining about the worship leader. I was the worship leader. I drove past a bar in Shea called the Dirty Drummer, and I said this out loud, God, there are better musicians than that bar playing for 12 drunks than I have for 1,000 people on Sundays. And the Lord said to me, why don't you do something about it? I said, oh, well, I don't know why you always make it about me. I'm trying to make it about you. And he said to me, command musicians to come out of the world into my kingdom. I said, can't be that easy. Got on my knees, prayed it. As I'm praying, my childhood friend, a famous, well-known to this day Hollywood producer, musician, and conductor, calls me. He's a backslidden preacher's son. And he says, he got my number after 20 years. I don't know how I found you. I just felt like calling you. I said, I know why you're supposed to fly over here and be my worship leader. He started laughing, you know, because he's agnostic. But then, 2 weeks later, a whole jazz nightclub got saved, the owners of it, Jim and Nancy Simmons, the largest nightclub, jazz nightclub in Arizona. And they brought with them the best saxophone player in Arizona, drummer, bass, guitar players, right there. Now, I'm not Einstein. That's the third time I said it. But I looked at them. I looked at my worship. Can you help us? And like that, we had the best musicians in Arizona on the stage. And then God spoke to me about a heartbroken young 19-year-old boy. I prophesied to him he was in the last row of church. Never met him. God touched him radically, supernaturally, on the floor. His name was Israel. He knew 19, knew one song. God told me to put him up there. I did. Now listen to me. Then Ricardo Sanchez, George Chadwick, now BJ Putnam. 25 years, even when our church went down, our worship was great because the door never closed. And I leveraged one moment into 25 years. You're almost with me. We miss the potential of miracles because we celebrate them singularly and uniquely instead of keeping that door open and letting 1,000 people go through. Okay, David runs at Goliath. Hurls a stone, hits him in the forehead, knocks him unconscious, stands over the unconscious body of Goliath, has no sword, reaches down and grabs Goliath's sword, humongous sword, by which Goliath had made hundreds of women widows and hundreds, if not thousands, of children orphans. The most vicious and cruel weapon in that generation for 50 years. Soaked in the blood of innocent people. And David reached down and touched it. And the moment he touched it, He redeemed it to God. People talking about, well, Hollywood can't be, it just needs to be touched. Well, people talking about Wall Street, oh, just needs a touch. And David took the enemy's weapon and accomplished God's will with something he didn't even bring to the fight. The weapon you need to win your fight is in your fight. Well, Pastor, I want God to give me the before. It don't work that way. We walk in water. We step out. And David holds up the head, takes it to Jerusalem. Okay. 10,000 men, when they saw Goliath fall, the army of Israel gave an unearthly shout. All their fears in one moment left. Their hidden greatness erupted. And they shouted the shout of mighty men of God that finally were given a chance to do something great. And they ran with David, chased an enemy that was running for its life. And the Bible says they defeated them for three counties down. For 100 miles, they whooped them. And then they returned. Something's about to happen. I want every person here that feels God's called you to be a kingdom entrepreneur, to release supernatural resources, financially and otherwise, to the earth. I want you to stand up. I want to pray for you right now. It's your time. It's your time, Davids and Devises. Is that the feminine for David? Davidesses. It's your time, Mr. and Mrs. David. For such a time as this, when there's 9 foot 9 tall Goliaths, when they said, this one, nothing good's gonna happen in Phoenix. When they look at you and you don't have enough education or enough favor or enough of this, you're exactly the kind of person that God wants to bless in extravagant, supernatural ways, because other people talking about you don't know who you are. But God's been cultivating you. God's been mentoring you. God's been progressing you, processing you, preparing you, anointing you. God's been empowering you. God's been humbling you. God's been purifying you. God's been, you've been through the fire, but you stayed with God. You've been through the water, you stayed with God. You've been through betrayal, stayed with God. And now something's ready to happen in your world. God wants to change our minds from how much we can make to how much we can give. Oh. Say this out loud with me. God, you called me. You put in my heart a passion to make a difference in this world. I know you've called me. I know you've chosen me. I know you've anointed me. And today I declare in Jesus' name that I'm in a breakthrough season where supernatural favor, where supernatural associations, where supernatural encounters are gonna change my world. God, I'm ready for you to use me. And I'm believing the best is yet to come. Thank you, God, for using my life to build your kingdom in all the world, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these men and women. I declare over their life, God, doors are opening. I heard the Lord say, I'm opening what men have shut. I'm opening locked doors. I saw a door with about 8 locks on it. God, so you can't keep me out of something I've called you to go into. I'm opening things that have been shut. I'm loosing things that have been bound. I'm giving you favor to advance in my kingdom. God says, I'm going to give you a faith to do what you've never done. You sang about it a moment ago, walking on the water. I'm going to give you a faith to do what others can't do because they don't have me. I'm going to give you a faith to go where others can't go because they don't have me going with them. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to these men and women. Thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, you can be seated for a minute. Get out your cards, would you please? Some of Miracle Pledge cards. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a regular offering, please prepare that too. I want you to think about our service. I've been praying. The Holy Spirit will just talk to you. It's between you and God. You and God. You and God. Mary and I are given a large gift to the church. Without even talking to each other, God spoke to us simultaneously what to do. So we pledge what we're going to do. We'll start doing that this Sunday and make payments until we're done. We estimate 4 or 5 months until the escrow closes on our Miracle property. We have listed for $249,000 and it will sell. But beyond that, listen to me, this isn't just about that and that person in the church, it's about you. Stuff is ready to happen in your world. Property is ready to be returned, victories and miracles and restorations, redemptives, things coming, reparation out of your past is ready to enter into your current life and become a future blessing. So whatever it is, asking you to pray, talk to God, talk to your spouse, say, let's do this much over the next 5 months. How much can you believe God to do? Don't make it about how much you can afford. Mary and I never give what we have. We give what we don't have. We watch God provide it so we can do it. It's been so fun. So whatever God speaks to you, if you have an offering, you can put it in there. If you don't, we have the whole summer to do this. We'll just collect these things. But we're going to watch God do a miracle at CFTN this summer. We're going to advance with the improvement of our property. We need to fix things here. We're going to. This is our time. A great harvest of souls has already begun. Listen, almost 4,000 people have come to Christ this year in the ministries of our church and outreaches, and that's just the beginning of stuff. God's going to multiply that many times forward. So as God's led you, and if you're ready, come and walk in the water and drop your envelope in the bucket here. And let's worship God before we go home today. Thank you, God, for your miracle. Come on and walk. Come on and
walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. You will not fail.
Oh,
would say there are people here with incurable, uncurable physical infirmities or diseases. If you have something that science or medicine cannot cure, I feel like you're supposed to ask someone to pray for you today. We'll pray the prayer of faith over you. If you have something that's incurable, please let us, I feel something released from God. Secondly, if you're here today and you've never received God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's grace and the beautiful person of Jesus Christ, we want to pray for you that you might know Jesus, that you might receive his grace and forgiveness. This is your day for that. If you're going through, thirdly, if you're here and just going through a great trial and a great test and some real trauma, we would love to pray for you. It's not an accident you're here. We're a hospital for hurting people, and the power and love of God is here to help you. So anyone wanting prayer, come on down forward. You will not fail. I've missed the last couple Wednesday nights. Excited about being here this Wednesday. Chance to minister to you. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome week. We're going to keep worshiping God and praying for a little bit longer here. You can stay as long as you want to. Don't forget, sign up for Elevate today, last day. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Miracles are here. You will not.